This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to be talking about over the next hours. We look back on all of the Championship action over the weekend. It started on Friday night with Cardiff's draw against Sheffield Wednesday. Then on to the Saturday West Brom win again at home, against Middlesbrough. Fulham losing 2-0 at Stoke. Can Nathan Jones continue on as the Stoke manager? Then on Friday, a big shock. Wigan beating Nottingham Forest, high-flying Forest, by 1-0. So we'll be reacting to all of that with a particular focus on Swansea and Reading this afternoon. We'll be talking about Gary Rowett. Could he be set to become the new Millwall manager? And that's all here to come here on the Championship Fan Show on Love Sport. So plenty to talk about over the next hour. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, share your views on your club's result over the weekend, whether you're absolutely ecstatic or absolutely devastated, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We want to hear from you this afternoon. As I said, we'll be talking about Swansea and Reading in more detail to come later in the hour. We'll also be talking a little bit about the Rugby World Cup. England smashing the Aussies. Does it really get a lot better than that? Smashing those Aussies, sending them home after they didn't send us home because we were already at home in the last World Cup, but after they dumped us out of our own World Cup, we can say goodbye to Michael Checker, who leaves the Australian job, and also say goodbye to those Australians as we march on to the World Cup semi-finals to play New Zealand. Wales will take on South Africa this weekend over in Japan at the Rugby World Cup. Obviously a busy weekend of fixtures, and obviously there'll also be plenty of midweek fixtures to look ahead to this week, tomorrow night and on Wednesday night. It all started on Friday night. Cardiff City up against Sheffield Wednesday. Neil Warnock was whinging about the fact that Cardiff had to play for a second time this season on the Friday night straight off the back of an international break. I do tend to agree with Neil Warnock on that, but it's great soundbites, isn't it? He's always good value for money, Neil Warnock, with his quotes. You wouldn't get that necessarily with someone else. Against Sheffield Wednesday, who've been in fine form under new manager Gary Monk in his 5 league games. Previous to this, he'd won 3 of them, and they're hovering just outside the playoff positions. It ended 1-1 in that game. Neil Warnock didn't seem too bothered. The fact that Lee Tomlin's late free kick saw Cardiff maintain their unbeaten home record. But Sheffield Wednesday doing a decent job under Gary Monk. They are now just into the playoff positions in 6th place on 20 points. But as we all know, it is still extremely tight in the Championship. Then on to the Saturday fixtures. It all started up in the northwest. It was Blackburn Rovers against Huddersfield. It ended 2-2. Lewis Holtby scoring his first goal for Blackburn. We spoke to Ryan Hildred towards the end of last week, and he said that Holtby had made a big impact on and off the field since he joined. He got on the score sheet, as did Bradley Dack, as per usual for Blackburn. When Blackburn score, you think it's either going to be Dack scoring or Dack assisting. For Huddersfield, Colin Grant with yet another goal, and then Janina Bakuna came off the bench to mean that it is 4 unbeaten now for Danny Cowley's side. Then on to 3 o'clock kickoffs. Disappointment for Steve Cooper, so we'll be talking more about that later in the hour. It finished 1-1 away at managerless Barnsley at Oakwell. Andre Ayew had given the Swans the lead, but within 180 seconds, Barnsley had pegged them back. An incredible game at Griffin Park. Brentford versus managerless Millwall, as we mentioned. We'll talk about it in just a second about Gary Rowett. Millwall were 2-0 up going into the final 10 minutes, but Brentford won by 3-2. What an incredible turnaround for Thomas Frank's side. At the Valley, a very one-sided affair. Charlton Athletic 3, Derby County 0. Lyle Taylor who? Who is Lyle Taylor when you have the likes of Macaulay Bond scoring and Connor Gallagher? A very, very easy win for Charlton against Philip Cocu's Derby County. Then up to Hull, where they lost by 3-2 at home against QPR. despite the fact that Jarrod Bowen scored again at four hole. Eberechi, easy. It is too easy for that man with two penalties to give QPR a 3-2 win away at Hull. For Mark Warburton's side, it has been a very impressive side up into the playoff positions. To Elland Road, where Leeds' home form has been a little bit patchy so far this season. They won by 1-0 at home against Birmingham. Calvin Phillips' strike for Leeds gave them the lead. It was, in fact, they were celebrating 100 years since their formation on Thursday. And there were 35,731 Leeds fans there, their highest attendance of this season so far. So 3 points for Marcelo Bielsa's side. Then to Luton, who were languishing just above the relegation zone, and a really, really good performance by them against a good Bristol City side. They won by 3-0 at home against Bristol City. A very convincing display, a real, really surprising result there for Luton, and a very disappointing one for Bristol City. You've made an impressive start to the season, but that is a very disappointing result for them. Then up to Borough and the Riverside Stadium, and Jonathan Woodgate, the pressure on him continues to ramp up. We've spoken to Dominic Shaw from Teesside Live that they will remain patient with Jonathan Woodgate, and he has the full backing of the board, the full backing of the supporters, because he is a club legend. I wonder how long that patience will last. It was a 1-0 defeat at home against table toppers West Brom. How Robson Kanu's goal inside the final 10 minutes, his first goal of the season, gave West Brom all 3 points as they marched 2 points clear at the top of the table. They're 2 points ahead of second place Leeds that we were just talking about, who won against Birmingham. But the pressure continues to ramp up on Jonathan Woodgate's side and on Jonathan Woodgate himself. They are just above the relegation zone, 10 points. Their form is going really downhill. For the likes of Huddersfield and Stoke, they're starting to get into some form and starting to close that gap. So there's this thought that they're going to remain patient with Jonathan Woodgate. They're not going to pull the trigger too quickly. But in this modern era of football, how long will that last? If in a month's time, Middlesbrough have slipped into the relegation zone, I don't think they will remain particularly patient with Jonathan Woodgate. Then to the Medeski, and despite all the negative messages that were being sent about Mark Bowen, who was the sporting director, but has obviously been appointed the manager now to replace José Gomes, it ended in a 1-0 win in his first game in charge against Preston. And what a dramatic way to do it. Matt Miazga scored in the 98th minute to give Reading all 3 points against Alex Neil's Preston, who have been pretty good at the start of this season, continuing on from where they left off last season. And what a way for Mark Bowen to start, despite so much opposition to his appointment as the head coach and as the manager. He does get his tenure as the Reading manager underway with a 1-0 win. In the final Saturday game, a big shock at the Bet365 Stadium, where Stoke beat Fulham by 2-0. I'm sure that would have come as a surprise to Fulham fans, as it probably would have done to Stoke fans. When Stoke lost to Huddersfield a couple of weeks ago, just before the international break, remember that Nathan Jones interview where he said he gambled with my wife's life? He's gambled with his coach's life. And what has he done? He's thrown it all away. It was kind of the most honest admission of a resignation. He was pretty much resigned to being sacked. That was the most honest interview you'll ever see, effectively waving the white flag saying, I'm going to get sacked, I'm going to get sacked. And yet, Nathan Jones is still in the job. It obviously was that 2-1 win coming from behind away at Swansea, and now off the back of the international break, they won by 2-0 at home, and it was a first league goal for Tyrese Campbell. Very, very interesting. Obviously, he's the son of former Arsenal and Everton striker Kevin Campbell, but a real turn up for the books. Stoke are now off the bottom. So there's always a silver lining to every cloud. They're on 8 points now, just a couple of points off Middlesbrough, who are the side just outside the relegation zone. Some of Nathan Jones's comments: I'm very proud of the group and the fans were outstanding again today. I'm not going to continue in Nathan Jones' voice. They've been through a tough time. They have had to be patient. I thought we were brilliant today. We're starting to get some continuity. We have a fully fit squad, which at times is difficult. We scored 2-1 chances and clear-cut chances, but we could have scored more. Steve Cooper's comments, the Swansea manager, when they lost to them just before the international break, was that this was a squad that should be miles further up the table, perhaps one of the best squads in the Championship, and they're starting to get a little bit of momentum. It was only 2 or 3 weeks ago that I said Nathan Jones was going to get sacked. And yet, we now sit here and things are starting to look up. A couple of back-to-back wins, and they are starting to move up. They're off the bottom. And you look at it, that Reading, for example, are in 19th. They're only 3 points, one win, away from Stoke. So it just shows that a couple of wins in the Championship, no matter where you are, can change things around quite a lot. And then on to the Sunday, another big shot. We've just talked about the Stoke game being a big turn up for the books. Then up at the DW Stadium, Wigan Athletic beating Nottingham Forest by 1-0. Sabri Lamouchi has made a great start to life at Forest. And yet, they lost away at Wigan, which was a big, big shock. And interestingly, today in The Athletic, they're reporting that Nottingham Forest will attempt to sign Dwight Gale from Newcastle in January. The belief is that they did try to sign him over the summer and have apparently stepped up their efforts after that narrow defeat to Wigan. Gale himself returned from an injury, coming off the bench late on for Newcastle against Chelsea on Saturday. He's not really featured for Newcastle this season. Had a very good season on loan at West Brom last season. It does very much feel like, for a player like Dwight Gale, the Championship is his level. He's very good there, but stepping up to the Premier League is too big a jump. But Forest, they've made a good start, despite their disappointment on the weekend, potentially looking to get some more firepower. The likes of Lewis Grabban and Joe Lolley have been in good form, but they're potentially looking for Dwight Gale, who is seeming on the periphery at Newcastle, but obviously starred on loan for West Brom last season. And one bit of Championship news to bring you is that Gary Rowett is in advanced talks to become the new Millwall manager. That could be announced in the next 48 hours. Neil Harris resigned just before the international break after just over 4 years in charge at the Den. Gary Rowett was one of the early favourites, along with Wigan manager Gareth Ainsworth and former player Tim Cahill. But it does seem like Gary Rowett, with a vast amount of experience in the Championship, looks set to become the new Millwall manager. So Gary Rowett, in the next few days, could become the new manager at the Den. Obviously, we're going to be talking a little bit about Swansea later in the hour, as well as Rugby World Cup chat. But up next, we'll be talking all things Reading.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking all things Reading now, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Paul Mann from Elm Park Rules. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. Well, we had a lot of negative reaction here on WhatsApp to Mark Bowen's appointment as the head coach, having been the sporting director. Before we talk about the game on Saturday, what was your initial reaction to that appointment, and are you surprised by a lot of the negativity and the lack of positivity surrounding his appointment?
I found it really underwhelming. No, I'm not surprised by the negative reaction at all. He was part of the system that brought in all the players that have been, I wouldn't say a failure, but they definitely haven't worked. We're third on the table. Normally when you sack a manager, you change the system completely. So no shock at the negative response.
So looking at that game, and it was dramatic to say the least at the Medeski, a 98th minute winner. Could you have written it any better if you were Mark Bowen at this moment in time? A 98th minute winner from Matt Miazga to win your first game in charge, considering the lack of support for your appointment?
Yeah, it was absolutely perfect because he gets the whole stadium on his side. Obviously, everyone goes out with a feel-good factor. If you're Mark Bowen, that was an absolute dream, wasn't it, really?
In terms of the performance as a whole, then, obviously sometimes a late winner can mask the performance, but overall, do you think Reading were deserving of the 3 points, and what can Reading fans take from the game as well as obviously the 3 points?
I'd say we were probably just about edged the match. It was a pretty poor quality match, really. But yeah, I think it was a team that we loved playing. We loved beating Preston at home. They must hate coming to the Medeski Stadium. Positives come out of it. We gave away far less chances than any other match probably this season. We played with a better tempo and we got the ball forward to our attackers a lot quicker, which Mark Bowen even himself said at halftime to the players that they were going maybe a little bit too direct. But yeah, I think there's positives, but it's one game. So yeah, I'm not going to draw too many massive conclusions from it yet.
Is it perhaps a sign of things to come? Because it was not exactly an easy game to come up first for Mark Bowen against Preston, who were impressive under Alex Neil last season. And he even rejected a move to West Brom, who are currently top of the table at one point last season. They've made a really solid start this season inside the playoff position. So as Tesco, it was a pretty big one. And is that a positive step for Reading and Mark Bowen that they were able to win against a pretty good opponent?
Yeah, definitely. It's got to be a good start, hasn't it? Taking out a team that's only won no losses in eight games and the top goal scorers. I think, like I said earlier, we are their bogey team. They must hate coming to the Medeski Stadium. If we could pick a team, we probably would have picked them. And it seems completely illogical with their league position. But yeah, I think there is a positive in that. And it was a really hard match. And Bowen will go into the game against QPR with a little tiny bit of breathing space.
Is there a feeling amongst Reading fans at the moment, Paul, that with the players in the squad that Reading have available to them at this moment, they should be doing much better? Because you look at some of the players, George Puskas, Lucas Joao, Ovie Ejaria, that there are some good players in this Reading squad. So is there the feeling that one of the reasons why Jose Gomes was sacked, as well as the fact, obviously, that they were on a bad run of form, that with the squad they have, they should be doing significantly better than they are, not just kind of a little bit better?
Yeah, I think most fans would think that we should be doing better with those players that you've mentioned. I'd also throw in John Swift as well, who's been excellent this season. Ovie Ejaria was probably the man of the match on Saturday. I don't know. With Lucas Joao, he's come in and he's done this thing that we heard when we signed him from Sheffield Wednesday. They have one or two good games and then he's dropped off the scale completely. Now he's out for 6 weeks. But yeah, I do think we should be at least mid-table with the team and the spending that we've seen.
Looking ahead then to this week's fixtures for Reading, it's a London game tomorrow night away at QPR, who themselves have made an impressive start to life under Mark Warburton this season. Eberechi Eze is making it look very easy with two goals on the weekend. How tough a task is this going to be? Are we going to learn a little bit more about Mark Bowen's side or the side under Mark Bowen with an away game against a side that's in form rather than necessarily a home game with a late winner?
Yeah, I think this is a really tough one. They've also got Naki Wells, who always seems to score against Reading. It's a kind of a running theme with his career, whichever club he's at. Obviously got Jordan Hugel as well. I think right now most Reading fans would take a draw right now. And if Mark Bowen gets a draw at the QPR tomorrow, that would be huge. That would be really a massive result for him. And I think that would really start to turn the tide of fans in his direction. So, yeah, hopefully that happens.
You mentioned how you weren't surprised by the lack of positivity surrounding the appointment of Mark Bowen. If it were up to you in an ideal world, firstly, who would you have gone for? And two, maybe if it was slightly more realistic, who would have perhaps been a feasible option that would have been available to Reading?
I still think when Aziz Saktor was on Love Sport, and I said I would have preferred like to have seen Chris Hughton come in. On a likely one, people always bring up Phil Parkinson around that area because obviously he was out of a job at that point. I don't know. It's really, this is why I find the appointment so surprising, that it's so low key. From what we heard during the week from the local journalists around us, that we were actually turned down by a manager before we appointed Mark Bowen. So I don't know. It's hard to know, isn't it, without the finances and everything, really.
In terms of what are the kind of pressing needs for Mark Bowen, as obviously he takes over, he's now been in charge for one game. From what you saw at the beginning of the season under Jose Gomes and going forward, what are the areas that Bowen needs to pay particular attention to in order to turn around Reading's form?
Oh, both ends of the pitch. We haven't been scoring enough goals, which is a problem, as we've mentioned earlier, with the strikers we've got. We should be doing better. Puskas needs to start scoring, basically. He hasn't scored since August, so he needs to pick that up. Defensively, we haven't been great, but Matt Miazga is back. I mean, including getting the goal on Saturday is obviously a great thing, but normally defensively, he's very solid, and we've really massively missed him. I think what the big change we have to see with a manager is tactical nous during a match, and that's something that we've repeatedly failed under the previous managers, is they've not been able to adapt. If Mark Bowen can show that during matches he can adapt the tactics, and it helps us, I think that would be a massive thing for Reading fans, and they really will start to believe in him.
And just finally then, Paul, what is the aim going forward for the rest of the season? Is it just simply making sure that Reading don't get relegated and that is as far as Reading should be looking? Or should actually there be a little bit more positivity, a little bit more ambition than that, and saying, yes, obviously, to begin with, it's getting ourselves out of this relegation zone, but actually, if Reading can do that over the next month or so, then it's looking to kick on with some of the players that they have.
Definitely, definitely. I think we could do a lot better with this team. I don't think it's impossible that we can be comfortably mid-table. If you get to mid-table by, say, January, February, all of a sudden you can have a little bit of a surge at the end of the season, and you can have a little bit of a kind of dalliance with the playoffs. You just never know the Championship. You've had the transfer window as well in January. We will see. But I'm confident this team will stay up regardless.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. That was Paul Mann from Elm Park Royals. As we mentioned, when the news was announced last week that Mark Byrne was to take over from José Gómez, there was a lot of unhappiness that the sporting director had merely appointed himself. Perhaps a little bit of arrogance coming through there, that I think I'm the best man for the job. No one else. I am the best man. That he said he was drawing up a shortlist of five managers, and then he was asked whether he might like it. Obviously spent a lot of his career as an assistant, in particular to Mark Hughes, but he gets the job, and not really a better way to start, is there? A 98th minute winner at home to get the home fans on side, even though last week they were very much not on his side. But a tough test for Reading tomorrow night against QPR. Looking through some of the other games, obviously it's a busy week, not just of Champions League football and Europa League football this week. It's also a busy week of Championship action as well. Looking at the 7:45 kickoffs tomorrow, Birmingham City host Blackburn Rovers. Will Gary Rowett be in charge for Millwall's game tomorrow night at home against Neil Warnock's Cardiff? Preston North End looking to get back to winning ways after that defeat against Reading there at home against High Flyers Leeds United. We mentioned that game between QPR and Reading. Sheffield Wednesday have made an impressive start to life under Gary Monk. They host Nathan Jones of Stoke City. We've just been seeing images of Nathan Jones in his press conference. He looks rather happy about life, much happier than he may have been after that defeat against Huddersfield, where he seemed resigned to losing his job. Swansea City will be hoping to get a win against Thomas Frank's Brentford. And an 8 o'clock kickoff sees table toppers West Brom take on the side that are currently sat bottom of the table in the form of Barnsley. On paper, this looks like a very easy game to predict, but as we all know in football, we should never think like that, and it will be much harder than we expect. Then on to Wednesday night, down at Ashton Gate, it is Bristol City who host Charlton Athletic. These are all 7:45 kickoffs on Wednesday night. Derby County, under Philip Cocu, take on Wigan. Fulham are at home against Luton, looking to bounce back after that disappointing 2-0 loss away at Stoke on the weekend. Huddersfield, who are 4 unbeaten under Danny Cowley, they host Jonathan Woodgate's Middlesbrough. Jonathan Woodgate, as we were talking about, is under a significant amount of pressure at the moment. And the final game of the midweek fixtures sees Sabri Lamouchi's side, Nottingham Forest, host Hull City. A really disappointing result for Forest yesterday away at Wigan. They will be hoping to bounce back with 3 points at home against Grant McCann's Hull City. So those are the Championship fixtures to look forward to in midweek this week. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, talk to us about your club's fixture at the weekend or looking ahead to the midweek fixtures, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Up next, we will be talking all things Swansea.
This is Love Sport.
We are joined now by Ian Mitchell-Moore, Swansea writer for Wales Online. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ian. It was a 1-1 draw for Swansea away at managerless Barnsley on the weekend. I know that the manager, Steve Cooper, was very frustrated. Are these the games that Swansea needs to be winning if they have any intention of gaining promotion?
Yeah, I probably think so. I mean, it was such a disappointing performance in that first half, and you never really know what to expect from a team that have just sacked their manager. I mean, credit to Barnes, they thought they looked galvanised under Adam Murray after obviously sacking Daniel Stendel. They've been on an awful run, having not won since the opening day of the season when they beat Fulham. So it was a bit of not a step into the unknown, but I think fans were a little bit wary of what to expect, particularly when the same happened before the break with Stoke. Everyone expected Nathan Jones to be sacked, and he, of course, stayed on and got his first win of the season against Swansea. So credit to them. I thought they were very good in the first half. Missed a lot of chances, though, and I think Steve Cooper was making the point that he was frustrated not to win, having weathered the storm, seen Barnsley miss a lot of chances, and then obviously Andre Ayew put them ahead in the second half and the lead only lasted 3 minutes and they couldn't go on to win the game, which was his main gripe. But in terms of the whole 90 minutes, I have to say a draw was probably a fair result. If anyone deserved to win it, it probably was the hosts.
Is that the biggest thing that Steve Cooper and his side will have to learn from this game, is the fact that they weathered that storm, they took the lead on about the 67th minute mark, and then conceded so quickly, 180 seconds after scoring the first goal, they then concede. So is that the biggest, perhaps, learning curve from this game, is that when you take the lead, especially away from home, sometimes you've just got to be a little bit more cautious, just set up a little bit more defensively, just to make sure you get through those next few minutes, because there is nothing worse than conceding straight after you've just taken the lead.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they've let Leeds slip in through the last four games now. I mean, the Reading game at home, they conceded in the 90th minute. And, you know, it's been a bit disappointing the last few games. They've only had one win in the last seven. So maybe it's just a case of a bit of game management. But you know, the fact that they stuck it out, you know, through a bit of fortune as well. I mean, some of the finishing from Barnsley was appalling. So they must have thought themselves that they should have been out of sight by half-time. So Swansea, they deserve credit for hanging on in the game, but at the same time, as you say, I mean, there's a bit more game management and a bit more nous in that second half. Didn't help that Joe Roden had an injury in immediate aftermath of that goal from Andre Ayew. He had to go off, and that little change at the back might just have come at the wrong time. And obviously, Barnsley score within, was it 3 minutes of Swansea going ahead. So, yeah, it's obviously something that they need to work on. And, you know, two home games now, is no better time to put it right.
Another goal then for Andre Ayew. We've talked in the past about a kind of renaissance for both Andre Ayew and Borja Baston, who seemingly 3 or 4 months ago were inevitably going to be sold, but they've now become a crucial part of this Swansea side. Are Steve Cooper going to need those two to continue firing if Swansea are going to maintain their position near the top of the table?
Yeah, they're really key figures. I mean, a lot of the players who've played key roles have only broken through sort of in the last year or so. Connor Roberts, Matt Grimes, George Byers, Joe Roden, all them type of players. So you do need that blend of youth and experience, and Andre Ayew certainly brings that. I mean, he's really hit the ground running now. 3 goals in as many league matches for Swansea, and you know, it takes him up to 5 in all competitions for the season. Let's not forget, as you said, he was, you know, pretty much set to leave in the summer due to his high wages. It never happened, and obviously they put out a statement at the end of the European window saying that he was going to stay, hopefully be a key figure for Swansea this season. So obviously with his Africa Cup of Nations commitments, it meant he didn't join the squad until late, and you know, he wasn't at full fitness when he was into the first team in the early parts of the season. But you can see the signs of progress week in, week out with him. He's getting better, and Andre Ayew, he's shown his worth, not just with his goals but his all-around performances as well. So him in particular, as well as Borja, they're going to be key players for Steve Cooper.
In terms of some of the youngsters currently at Swansea, one man that you mentioned just a few moments ago was Joe Roden, who is only 21 years old, a centre-back who made his Wales debut in September. He's one of the youngsters that Steve Cooper has pointed out that can be a Premier League player of the future. And does the example of Daniel James only a matter of months ago show and prove the evidence that these kids can make the step up into the Premier League at such a young age?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Daniel James is a prime example. You look at him, you know, on Sunday, he was playing against Liverpool in the Premier League, and you know, he wasn't outclassed. He got man of the match for that game. So, you know, Joe Roden's grown up with those same type of players that I've mentioned. You know, Ollie McBurney's another one who's in the academy and has gone on to the Premier League. So there's a clear pathway there. And, you know, the fact that they're getting minutes at Swansea is giving them that platform to improve as individuals. You know, fingers crossed in a dream scenario for Swansea is that they go up with Swansea, but if that's not the case, then on an individual level there's every chance that they could go on to Premier League football. And Joe Roden, what a phenomenal talent he is. I mean, he's got 4 caps for Wales now. He was superb on his debut against Azerbaijan, played in the follow-up against Belarus in a friendly, and he was magnificent in the 2 most recent games against Slovakia and Croatia in the last break. So yeah, he's played the next off the conveyor belt, so to speak, and he could well be playing Premier League football next season, whether it's with Swansea or not.
Before we look ahead to Swansea's next game, as the game's come thick and fast now, if we look at it in general, Swansea are third on 22 points after the 12-game mark. I suppose it puts a little bit of context on the weekend's game, because even though Steve Cooper would have been frustrated, it's still another point, and Swansea are in a fairly decent position at the moment, perhaps not peaking too soon, but also playing well, getting good results, and in a good position, perhaps a better position maybe than some Swansea fans may have expected.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one because there was a spell where Swansea really hit a purple patch last season at the back end of the season, and they were losing games. Like they played brilliantly at Norwich, West Brom, away to Forest, and they lost all three of those games, and even Man City at home in the Cup, and they just couldn't quite get the results that their performances deserved. Whereas at the moment, some of the performances have been below par, and yet they're still getting points. So you can look at it in both ways, but if you're looking on the positive side, if you're a glass half full kind of person, I mean, it must fill you with confidence if your team's not playing that well and still getting points. You know, let's not forget, Swansea have only lost two games in the league this season and they're unbeaten on the road. So it's showing that they're tough to beat. And, you know, they're still in third place after just 1-7 in all competitions. So if they do start to improve and hit a bit of form, who knows what they could do this year.
Looking ahead then to the next game, tomorrow night at home against Brentford, who had an incredible game on the weekend, coming from 2-0 down to beat Millwall 3-2 in the final 10 minutes of that game. Is that something that Swansea needs to be very wary of? Is that, for example, the other day Swansea went 1-0 up and drew the game against Barnsley, that Brentford are a side that quite clearly are a resilient bunch. They're going to keep going to the end of the game, and even if Swansea do take the lead, they should by no means count their chickens and just think the game's done and dusted.
Yeah, they're a very experienced Championship team, Brentford. I mean, Swansea know that better than anyone. They played them three times last season, and all three were brilliant games, and you know, Swansea came out on top in all three. But yeah, there were some fantastic games, going 3-0 up away at Brentford at Griffin Park, and Brentford produced a brilliant second half performance and could have got a draw out of that one in the end. And the FA Cup game, Brentford were superb in the first half, 1-0 up, and then just a masterclass from Daniel James in the second half inspired what turned out to be a great win for Swansea. So, but as you say, I mean, that's a phenomenal result against Millwall, who of course just changed their manager recently. So, you know, Brentford are a team with so much attacking talent. They play a nice brand of football, similar to Swansea in many ways. So it makes for an exciting game, and, you know, whatever the outcome, it's such a tough one to predict because of the way the two teams play.
And just finally then, Ian, this is that kind of period of the season where the games are starting to come thick and fast. They're coming midweek weekend, and we're now past two international breaks, 12 games into the league season. How much rotation do you expect to see from Steve Cooper over the coming weeks? And do Swansea have the squad that is capable of being rotated and still performing at a high level?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head in terms of the timing, because Steve Cooper made four changes at the weekend from the team that started against Stoke, and it meant Sam Surridge on loan from Bournemouth and Tom Carroll both made their first league starts. So it was a really bold call from him, and in fairness, it was one that probably didn't quite work out. But, you know, you've got to do it at some stage or another. And, you know, with another game against Brentford, then Cardiff, the derby on Sunday, then, of course, another two games before the international break, you can't just go through a season playing the same team every week. So rotation is needed, and we've started to see that from Steve Cooper now. As for the squad depth, it remains to be seen, because, you know, on the wings you've got players like Christopher Peterson, who came in the summer and hasn't played much, Alder Kalulu, who's been injured, Sam Surridge is another who's had to largely come off the bench for appearances, and Ben Wilmot, who's, you know, he came on at the weekend, but he's largely been restricted to just the cup game. So there's some talented players in there, but until they have a run of games in the league, you don't really know what to expect from them. So it does look a little bit inexperienced on the bench. You know, the likes of Jordan Garrick, he's been brilliant when he's come on, another academy player. He's an exciting player, full of pace and trickery. So, I expect to see a lot more rotation in the coming weeks and months. As to whether they're strong enough, I think only time will tell, because there's not too much experience on the bench when you look beyond sort of the likes of Wayne Routledge and Nathan Dyer, really.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ian. That was Ian Mitchell-Moore, Swansea writer, Fort Wales Online. Love Sport.